Welcome to Real Life. Hi, I'm Jim Miller, and you're listening to the Real Life LA podcast, coming to you from the Southern California foothills town of Glendora, California. We're a church for everyone, and we exist to lead lost people to Jesus, building a community of grace with a God-sized vision that reaches from generation to generation. As you hear today's message, we pray that God speaks specifically to you, opens your heart, and shows you how to live each day with more joy, beauty, and wonder. Welcome to Real Life. I'm Jim. It's good to be with you this morning. I always look forward to the chance that we have on Sunday mornings to get together and to worship and to point our hearts in God's direction and to listen for what He's doing in our lives. If you're new here this morning, because I realize we have guests every single week who are here for the first time, what we do here on Sunday mornings is as you notice, we sing to God, we're thankful to God, we spend time looking at the Bible, which is God's Word, and we think about what God is calling us to in the week that is to come. And so that's what we're doing here together. Before we get into our study of God's Word, one of the things I like to do is to say thank you. And I want to say thank you today because on Tuesdays, we have been having our midweek program at a nearby church that we've been renting and had over 100 kids and teenagers there every single week. And I'm so thankful for all of you who have volunteered to make that happen every single week. It's taken tons of volunteers to be there, to coach kids, to guide kids. And thank you to all of you who volunteer with our kids on Sunday morning, too, because I realize some of you attend one service and serve at the other, and I'm appreciative that you put that kind of time into bringing the next generation up in faith. So thank you for all of you who take part in all that, and thank you for being this church. Yeah. I do want to take some time to pray for this morning for the needs of our families, the needs of our congregation, the needs of our friends, people we care about. Pray for somebody who is struggling through miscarriage right now. Pray for her and her family. Bless them and comfort them. Pray for a couple of people who are recovering from surgery right now because they have gone through a hard time and are hopefully on the mend. So pray for their health and healing. Pray that God does miracles in their lives. And pray for somebody who is making some hard decisions about where to go to college, because for those who are applying, it is that time of the year where the letters start to come back, and for some of the lucky ones, they have to choose which one they're going to. So pray for those decisions that God would guide them and prepare a place for them. Let's take a minute and pray together. Father, I thank you that your Spirit is here in this room, that you were here before we arrived, that you were preparing a place for us, that you are waiting for the opportunity to whisper into our hearts. We come to you sometimes broken from the things that have happened in weeks past, from things that we've done or that have been done to us. I ask your healing touch right now for those who are distracted, for those who have trouble concentrating on you or believing in you. God, work miracles in our hearts and open our hearts to you. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. All right, let me catch us up to speed. If you have not been here in recent weeks, we've been in a series of studies on Sunday morning called Apprentice, because we want to be apprentices of Jesus. And realize that is actually dramatically different than what a lot of Christians in our society are doing. You may not realize it because in America, there's still a predominant majority of people who call themselves followers of Jesus. And that's very different than a lot of the world. And we may not always realize how different that is. But because there's so many people around us who call themselves followers of Jesus, we have the opportunity to be something that Christians elsewhere in the world do not. Christians elsewhere in the world are sometimes persecuted for being Christians. There are some countries where it's illegal to convert to Christianity. And so we have an opportunity in this country to be something that Christians elsewhere do not. We have the opportunity to be apathetic. And a lot of Christians in this world will never know what that feels like. The chance just to be apathetic about the fact, yeah, I sort of believe, I'm sort of involved, whatever. But a lot of Christians in the world don't have that freedom, because the commitment of faith is a commitment of one's life. And honestly, I don't want to be a Christian who doesn't care. I don't want to be an apathetic Christian. I want to be a Christian for whom the faith matters. I mean, it's kind of like this. At my house this month, We have two birthdays in 1 month, and one of them is for an 11-year-old boy. And a birthday for an 11-year-old boy is kind of a big thing. Like he wants it to be a big party. He wants everybody to know. When you put a picture of him blowing out his candles on InstaBookface, he wants to know how many people liked it. And so it's a big deal. And when you're turning 11, that's awesome because you've got birthdays to look forward to. You're looking forward to 13 and 16 and 18 and 21. There's all kinds of things to look forward to when you're turning 11. Now, somebody else in our house is turning 40-something. And the birthday's not quite the same. That person's not as excited. In fact, they won't even say what birthday it is. They just refer to kind of the decade that it is. And there's not that much, you know, in terms of looking forward to things. There's not many birthdays you look forward to. You look forward to, what, 50 and 67. I mean, those are kind of the big markers coming down. The 11-year-old wants to have a laser tag party. I want to play laser tag, but my back hurts. So it's not the same thing. Well, the same thing is true in faith. You can have an 11-year-old birthday kind of faith, or you can have a 40-something-year-old birthday kind of faith. You can have the kind of faith where you wake up and you go, well, yeah, I guess. I mean, whatever. It's just the same day as any other. Or you can have the kind of faith where you wake up in the morning and you say, God is real, and that is still amazing to me. God is doing things in the world today, and that is still amazing to me. God is going to surprise me today. There are things that he has planned for my day, and I'm going to find them like Easter eggs. There are still people who wake up with that kind of faith, and I want to be that kind of Christian. I want to have an 11-year-old birthday party kind of faith. I don't want to have a stale, kind of old, routine kind of faith. And that's honestly what Jesus wants. When Jesus calls to us, he says, come and be my apprentice. Come and be my disciple. Don't just settle for religion and routine. Come and do real life with me. Come and be my apprentice and let me teach you what it means to have faith every day, where you wake up in the morning and you live for me. What it looks like is actually not remarkably difficult. If you want to be an apprentice of Jesus, if you want to find happiness in life the way life is supposed to be lived, the first thing to do is to find out who Jesus was. So God stepped down on the earth 2,000 years ago, and we now have four biographies of him called Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the first thing to do is just read the story of the life of Jesus, know who he is, what he taught, how he lived, how he calls us to live. It's the first and easiest and most obvious step. If you've never done it, do it this week. They're really short. And once we know what his life was all about, we wake up in the morning and we start our day saying, today, Jesus, today belongs to you. Do with it whatever you want to. Don't let me miss any of the good things that you have planned for today. Don't let me just kind of wander through life doing the same old routine. Let me look for you. Remind me at every minute to look for you. And that's what it means to be an apprentice of Jesus. When Jesus walked the earth, he was laser focused on his mission. He was absolutely clear on what his mission was all about. And yet Christians in our society settle into things that have nothing to do with Jesus' mission. I mean, if you read the Bible and then you look at the church today, there's this disparity between what he said and how a lot of us live. And I want to go back and live as an apprentice of Jesus. I want to live the way he called us to live. And so I want to look at his mission today. I want to look at being an apprentice in the school of Jesus, following after the mission of Jesus. So if you brought your Bible, open with me to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, turn on your Bible. If you don't have a Bible on your phone or your tablet, the U version of the Bible, Y-O-U, is a free Bible app. It's a great Bible, and you can follow along in that. Also, by the way, if you have not downloaded the Real Life app already, there is a page on there for sermon note takers. I know some of you are a little compulsive about this and you want something where you can fill in blanks. We have that in our app now. You can sit there and fill in blanks to your heart's content. That's an apprentice thing, I guess. I don't know. But if you want to do that, you can download the Real Life app. Also, download the U version of the Bible if you don't already have it, or if you want, you can just follow along on the screen. This is Luke, one of the biographies of Jesus, chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. And in this passage, Jesus is just laser focused on his mission, on what he's all about. So listen to the word of God. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. That's us. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Now, pause for a minute. Let's talk about who the Pharisees are. This is important. If you know the story of the life of Jesus, you know who the Pharisees are. It is impossible to know the story of the life of Jesus and not know the Pharisees. The Pharisees are generally the bad guys in the story. They are self-righteous, legalistic, judgmental, religious leaders from the first century world who followed Jesus around, trying to trap him and embarrass him and argue with him. The basic day planner in Jesus' day was this: work a miracle, argue with a Pharisee. Work a miracle, argue with a Pharisee. That's what he did all day long. You can't know the story of Jesus without knowing who the Pharisees are. But if you're new to church or if you've never read the Bible, you may have heard of Jesus, and the word Pharisee might be a new word on your tongue. So let's make sure we understand how integrated these two stories are, the story of Jesus and the story of the Pharisees. You cannot have one without the other. It's like this. Do you like going to the movie theaters? Everybody's got Netflix or what, you know, Amazon or whatever, but do you like going to the great big movie theaters? And you smell the popcorn and you get a Coke that comes in a barrel and you love it and it feels good and it's fun. It reminds you of your childhood maybe. But there's this experience you have at the movie theaters where you walk on the floor and you know, can you in your mind right now hear the sound of your feet on the floor at the movie theater where there's this sticky goo that has oozed out of the earth and coats the floor of the movie theater. And as you walk on it, it sounds like someone's eating celery down there. You know, it's... You know that sound? You can't know the joy of going to the movie theaters without knowing what that sound is. You can hear that in your head right now because the two always come together. You just can't have one without the other. That's how they are. Or you ever have that experience where you're biting into a fresh, sweet, delicious Fuji apple, this perfect Fuji apple, and you bite into it, and at that moment, a square centimeter of apple peel gets lodged in your teeth right there, in between your incisors and your canines. You know what I'm talking about? It gets lodged right there, and all day long, it's like you can't focus on anything else, and you're fighting with it, your tongue, you just can't get it out, and people look at you like, are you okay? You're twitching. Do you have a problem? And all day long, do you know that experience? You can't know how great an apple is without knowing that terrible experience of having apple peel lodged right in there. It's just those two things come together. Or for those of you who are married, you know how you have that experience where you're getting married and the wedding day comes and you're so in love and you're all in love. And so you get married and you're all in love. You guys, you know what I'm talking about? Right? Oh, so in love, you're engaged, you're getting married. And then you go on a honeymoon, you're like, oh, we love each other. And one of you goes, hold on a second, I'm going to the bathroom. And then there are these noises that come out of hell. And you're like, what? I'm going to have to live with this the rest of my life? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You can't have one without the other. Those are two things that just come together. Well, the story of Jesus is like that. You hear this story of Jesus, and he's this great, miracle-working, loving, gracious, forgiving, witty, smart, funny, happy guy, everything you want. And everywhere he goes, there are these nasty, awful, judgmental, religious people who follow him around. You just can't have one without the other. Now, this is important. This is important spiritually, because you have people in your life who will tell you, I'm not going to church because I've had a bad experience with religious people. I'm not going to church because I know there are people at church who are judgmental and self-righteous, and I don't want anything to do with them. You know people like that. You might be someone like that. But listen, if you allow terrible, awful, judgmental religious people to keep you away from Jesus, you're giving them way too much power. You're giving terrible people the power to keep you away from truth and joy and happiness. Why would you give them that kind of power? Don't give that power to terrible religious people. Just realize that when you follow Jesus, when you know the story of the life of Jesus, the Pharisees are always right in hand. And so that's what's going on here. Jesus begins to talk to his disciples, and he's surrounded by sinners and tax collectors. Tax collectors were traitors, right? And sinners were broken people, outsiders who hadn't lived according to the right social norms. And Jesus begins to talk to them, and he loves them, and they love him. But right outside that circle, a bunch of religious people sitting around going, why is he hanging out with them? Verse 3, then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more people rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Now, I'm going back to a passage that I have preached on before because this is such a critical passage to understanding the mission of Jesus. Luke 15 is Jesus' mission as clear as it can be. And I love this passage because I realize how much this makes people angry. I remember preaching on this passage one time in front of a group of Christians, and I had them hold a finger up in the air, and I said, repeat after me, this is not for me. Church is not here to be a customer service organization filled with religious goods and services. This is not for me. And this woman came up to me afterwards, irate, and said, what are you talking about? It sounds like you're saying church is not for me. Of course it's for me. And I said, well, this isn't me. This is the teachings of Jesus. Look at what he says. He says, there were 99 sheep and they were safe. And so he went out to find the one who is lost. Well, what do you think that means? And she said, well, he made sure that they were all safe in the pen and that they had food and water and blankets. And then he left a deputy sheriff in charge so everybody was taken care of before he went. And I said, what version of the Bible are you reading, lady? The New Revised Pharisee version. What? That's exactly what Jesus said. He says, when you teach what he taught, when you do what he said, people will persecute you in his name. And that's because the mission of Jesus was different than what a lot of Christians settle for. It's not the opportunity to go through religious routines and rituals that allow you to judge other people. That's not what the faith is. He was here to come seeking after lost people. We just finished this program on Monday nights called Alpha. And Frisella's roastery here on Glendora Avenue was nice enough to let us take over their restaurant on Monday nights. And what we did is we offered a free dinner. And we said, if you have a friend who doesn't know Jesus or doesn't have a church, bring them for a free dinner on Monday nights. And we're gonna eat this great dinner at Frisella's, and then we're going to watch a 20-minute video that talks about what life is all about. And it explains what Jesus has to say about what life is all about. Really good, high-quality videos. We'll watch it, and then we'll discuss it. And I watched people who on day one did not want to be there, by the last day, not want to stop meeting. I watched people who, they may still not go to church, but they loved being there on Monday nights. And a couple of those discussion groups, I think, are still going to go on meeting now that Alpha is over. And that's what Jesus came for. He came for us to seek and to love lost people, people who don't yet know him, but who need him. And if you go to Real Life, that's the story of your church. Real Life should be all about storytelling. That's what good churches should be about. On Sunday morning, you get together to tell great stories about what God did in your last week, about how you saw God move and how God spoke to you and how God spoke to people around you. I was having this conversation this last week with a girl who's a high school senior, and she's been accepted to a couple different colleges, and she's trying to decide where to go to college. And she's not a Christian. She knows I'm a Christian, but she's not a Christian. And I said to her, I said, well, I know this isn't how you normally think, but why don't you try praying and seeing if God gives you guidance? And I want Real Life to be a place where we get to tell stories of how God is moving in people's lives. That's what Sunday should be all about. Hey, I was out looking for lost sheep this week, and here are the stories that I brought back with me. That was Jesus' mission. He was crystal clear about it. And we have so often turned it into a place for Pharisees to hang out. And we get insulated as churches. I was telling a group of pastors about our Alpha program, and one of them said, yeah, but it's, you know, that'd be way too expensive. I mean, it costs money to do a dinner and all that. You can't do that. It's too much of a risk. Well, yeah, it's a risk. And if you risk things, you might fail. But if you don't risk things, you will definitely fail. Jesus called us to go out into the world and seek lost people, and absolutely it's a risk, but it's totally worth it. That's what your money is for. The hard part is that many of us have settled for religion and routine that has gotten comfortable, and we don't realize that Jesus is headed in a different direction. And when you first see it, when you first see the mission of Jesus and realize it's not what you've been doing, it's a hard process to turn in a new direction. I mean, you have to deboard the plane that you're on because it's headed to the wrong destination and get on a different plane. You know how hard that is? You ever deboard a plane before where you thought you were on the right one and you had to get off again? I've done this before, and it's a nightmare, where you get on and every seat is crammed full and you're glad that you have one because you can see the two people walking up and down the aisle who are angry because someone else is in their seats. And then the pilot comes on and goes,
Ladies and gentlemen, we like to say thank you for flying Snafu Airlines. We know you have a choice in flying airlines, and Snafu is happy to serve you. But we do have a bit of a problem this morning. We have oversold the flight, and we are going to need a couple of you to get off the plane. Would any of you be willing to get off the plane?
Nobody moves. Mother Teresa would be on the plane. She would not move.
Right? I need a couple of you to get off the plane. This is what we're going to do. We're going to offer you a $100 voucher for the next flight and put you on the next flight out of here. We'll give you a $100 voucher for your future flight. Would any of you get off the plane?
And in my head, the calculator starts running. I'm like, $100, that's a lot of money. $100. But, you know, these bozos don't plan well, so I bet there's not another plane leaving today. So I'm going to have to pay for a hotel night. So I'm not going to do it. I know this is a game. I'm not going to play your game. 10 minutes pass.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've talked to ground control, and it turns out that we can increase the value of the vouchers to $150. If you would get off the plane, we will give you a $150 voucher to take another flight.
And in my head, I'm thinking, now $150 is even more money. It's still not enough, but you're headed in the right direction, buddy. And I know how this works. This is just an auction. It's just an auction, and you haven't hit my number yet, but I'll sit here and wait. Like an hour goes by.
Ladies and gentlemen, you'll be put on the next flight. It's first class. They're serving steak and lobster, and the co-pilot will give you a foot massage.
Right? It's hard to get off the plane, right? It's hard to deboard. But listen, this is what happens in faith. A lot of people get on the wrong plane, and they settle for ritual and religion and something that makes them feel nice but doesn't do anything in their lives. And they think, I'll just stick with this because I'm on this plane. And suddenly you see Jesus is headed in another direction. And you realize, it's going to be so much work to go over there and change everything to get in line behind him. But listen, if you don't, you might not find out until you reach your destination that you were on the wrong plane. Because there are no lukewarm Christians in heaven. You're not going to get up to heaven and find people sitting around going, yeah, I didn't really care. I thought it was sort of true, maybe, but I kind of put up with it. You're not going to hear that voice in heaven. So if you realize you're on the wrong plane and Jesus is headed in another direction, deboard for God's sake. Amen? Jesus calls us to something way better than what we settle for. He calls us something way better and more beautiful than what we settle for, because this is what happens in our lives. You're living a lost life. You're living a broken life, and for a while it's a party, and then it all falls apart. And maybe your marriage has ended. Maybe you've lost a job, and you're desperate. Maybe you've come to a darker place of loneliness than you ever thought you could experience, and you are afraid. And you turn to Jesus, and you say, I just can't do it anymore. I cannot do this on my own. And at that moment, Jesus just throws his arms around you. He just grabs you. He is so happy that you called on him. And he doesn't hold anything against you, and he doesn't bring up the past. He just loves you. And if you've never had that experience before, it is the best experience in the world. You can have it today. If you've never turned to Jesus and say, just take me back, he absolutely will. And then he picks you up, and he carries you home, and he calls all of his friends together, and they throw a party in your honor, and there is laser tag in heaven. It is a beautiful thing if you've never made that decision before. But then time goes on, and one day Jesus comes to you and he says, okay, so I'm going to be gone for a while, but everything's fine. What do you mean you're going to be gone for a while? We're throwing a party in my honor. I know it's been a year, but we're just still throwing a party in my honor. I'm liking this. What do you mean you're going somewhere? And Jesus says, there's nothing wrong. It's just that I love it when I find somebody who's lost and I bring them back. I just love that more than anything else. Here's what we could do, though. If you want, you could come with me. We could go get them together. One time he said it this way. He said, you've been fishing for fish. Come fish for people. Let's go find lost people. And this is the pivot. This is the turning point. This is the second conversion that a lot of Christians need to have. It's the moment where you turn from the gift to the giver. Where you turn from the things that God has been blessing you with to Jesus himself. Where you stop looking for the things that you want God to give to you, and you start looking for the things that God wants to give through you. And that is the pivot that so many of us need to come to, where we deboard and we get on the right flight. We get on the place that Jesus wants to go next, because Jesus is here to search for lost people, and apprentices of Jesus are here to go looking for lost people with him. I remember reading this story of a woman who had lived as a kind of a pleasant life, had a good life, and was vacationing in Africa, and was in this kind of remote part of Africa. She's a photographer and was enjoying seeing the scenery, but contracted this like flesh-eating bacteria and was hospitalized in this remote part of Africa. And she was so unstable that they could not even fly her off to a place where there would be a better hospital. And she was going to die. And this doctor showed up. This doctor showed up, and he had a Harvard-level education, and he brought medicine with him, and he nursed her back to health. And as he brought her back, he told her his story. And his story was this. He said, I was a premier doctor. I was making millions of dollars. I didn't just have multiple houses. I had a plane. I had everything I wanted. And I just felt empty inside. And then Jesus found me. And now I only work enough days in the office to have enough money to go around the world seeking lost sheep. And the story ended with this woman who is now enrolled in medical school with one singular purpose. She was going to learn the art of medicine so she could travel around the world looking for lost sheep in Jesus' name. Isn't that a beautiful life? Isn't that how life is supposed to be? That's the kind of life that people write songs about. Wouldn't you want to live the kind of life that somebody would want to write a song about? I mean, imagine if people wrote songs about most of our lives, right? I mean, people wrote songs about the lives of Christians in America, Christians in our city in America. They wouldn't necessarily sound all that great. Can you imagine people rapping about Christian life in Glendora? I mean, well, it might sound like this. Now, I don't mean to brag, but I'm here to say, but I got myself a killer 401k. The house is pretty fancy and the fence is painted white. Gonna get myself a timeshare if I play my cards right. I'll winter in the mountains, I'll summer in the sun. Got a doctor down in Newport if I need some work done. The best part of my life is the jealousy, because my family is the Joneses and you're keeping up with me. I chill out at night on my posturpedic bed. Gonna cruise my way through life till I'm finally dead. Peace. I was going to drop the microphone, but the executive pastor said we're on a budget. Now, that song was terrible. And it wasn't just terrible because of my singing, although my singing was an important part of why that song was terrible. But it's a terrible song because it's a terrible story. That's a terrible life to live. Who wants to live a life like that? Who wants that to be your song? If you want to live a life that is song-worthy, if you want to live a life that feels like an 11-year-old birthday party instead of a 40-year-old birthday party, for the love of God, get off the plane and get on the plane that is following the shepherd who loves lost sheep. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you call us to real life, and I pray that you would help us to see the places where we have wandered away from your plan for us. Teach us to turn and to live according to your vision for our lives. Teach us to live lives of love and care for lost people. Fill us with your spirit that we might be your missionaries in the world. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. Now, will you help us welcome others to real life? Share our podcast or find us on Instagram or Facebook at Real Life LA. If you'd like to become a supporter, please visit reallife.la and tap give to help us welcome everyone to real life. God bless and have a wonderful day.